这样比较不会那么累。
It would be less tiring if we divide into discussion groups and the leader go through the questions at the back, run through them, and go through the rest of the book. Is that a better idea?
Huh?好，我们继续把它讲完。
We'll continue then.
那我们再看第三章。
So we look at Joel chapter 3.
我们请大家同心默祷。
First, let us pray in silence.
Amen. 但耶稣第三章。
Joel 3.
上章我们看刚刚看到的九节十节是要宣告列国的战事，就是战争的事情。
Joel 3, 9 and 10 talks about the war that was about to happen amongst the nations.
我们看现在看十一节。
Now we go to 11.
四围的列国啊，你们来，你们要速速的来，一同聚集，这就打仗啦。
Here it says, war is coming, that nations from every side must assemble there.
那再过来呢，这一段我们要注意一下，有时候先知在写的时候，好像神的启示，有时候先知会好像跟神讲话一样，会插进去一句话。
That we have to take note of any prophecy that we're reading, that sometimes it seems that as God is revealing to the prophet, that the prophet would sort of add in a few words to, as response.
因为先知的那个眼，所谓的眼界哈，跟我们人不一样。
眼界。
The viewpoint 是吗 ？Prophet's view， 他的 view。
For the viewpoint of the prophets may differ from that of the common people today。
我们在这里说看不远嘛。
Here we can say we can't see far from here。
美国听说有 view 的那个房子比较贵，是不是？
In America, it seems that a house with views, beautiful views, are more expensive.
看得远
that you can see far.
那先知呢？有时候我们是在这里的话，我们只是看到这里。
That if we're on the foot of the mountain, we can only see the first plateau.
那先知有时候被神提高，他不但看到这里，他也看到这里。
But sometimes a prophet can be raised up to that height that he can see every plateau.
所以有时候先知他会有事先的一个感动，或是事先的一个感觉。
So sometimes the prophet will experience a feeling.
比如说
before the thing happened.
你们有学过伊丽莎，对不对
？We've studied Elisha.
那伊丽莎有一个很有名的故事。
Elisha has a very famous story.
就是。他看到一个外邦的国王
That is, he saw a Gentile king.
你们有学过这个吗？他看到一个外邦的国王，他就哭了。
He saw a Gentile king and he wept.
有没有
？Have you read that?
有没有？在那个列王记下第八章啊。
In 2 Kings 8.
第八章，神明定睛看哈谢，哈谢是亚兰王，对不对
？Here it talks about the king of Aram.
安息日你们有参加吗？我安息日有讲那个以利亚、以利沙有没有哈
？In Sabbath day, I talked about Elijah and Elisha.
以利亚神叫他有三样工作，其中之一就是什么？要去亚兰高哈谢为王，有没有
？One of the jobs of Elijah was to go to the land of Aram and anoint Hazael.
那因为以利亚自己乱跑嘛，所以他没有。跑得太远，所以没有办法做两样，他只做一样，三样他只做一样而已。那另外的这两样呢，是他的徒弟来做了。
But Elijah was on the fly, therefore he did not do the three things entrusted to him. He only did one of them. The remainder was done by his successor.
那我们看列王记下八章第十一节。
We look at 2 Kings 11.
神人定睛看哈谢，那个神人眼睛跟很大很有神哦，看着什么哈谢，甚至惭愧，被人家看的，哎呀，不好意思了。然后呢，那个被看的那个以后要当国王那个人不好意思，但是神人怎么了？神人就哭了。为什么哭
？Here, God stared at him with a fixed gaze until Hazael felt ashamed, and that this Hazael that will be king.He was ashamed. That fact made Elijah weep.
当神人看这个哈谢说，一看啊，他哭了。为什么？他说，因为我知道你必苦害以色列人，以下我们就忽略，就省略了。所以在这里时候，平常人看了只说啊，一个外邦的一个，他被派了一个将军，一个使者来求问以色列人的先知，只是这样子，好像说。被礼遇，但是先知他的那个 view 哈，看得更远，他看到未来，看到这个人来问的这个人，就是以后要当国王，不但当国王，而且要苦害以色列人了、啊，并且苦害得很惨。当以利亚看到这个，他怎么样？不禁先知眼泪就掉下来了。
Therefore, a superficial view of what's going on here is simply a prophet before a man which will become king.And God was present. However, to Elijah, he saw much more than this. He saw into the future that Hazael will become king and also bring harm to the Israelites. Therefore, he wept at that moment.
So, 先知也是先哭了。
Therefore, the prophet will cry before the thing happened.
所以能够先哭的才是先知。
Therefore, if you could cry before the thing happened, then you can be prophet.
那这约珥书我们来看看。
We return to how Joel describes.
耶稣三章他神向万民宣告说要打仗。
Joel 3 talks about proclaiming to the nations that they should prepare for war.
一片那个兵荒马乱的情况。
That there will be chaos of cavalries and warriors.
然后那个十一节
，verse 11，
神向四围的列国啊，你们要速速来，一同聚集，就是要打仗啦。
That every nation shall assemble to have war。
这时候先知看到一片真是要打仗的情况，他就祷告了。所以这个跟那个上面应该分开。耶和华啊，这是什么？先知的祷告，先知的呼求。
Here, as the prophet comes to the point of revealing to us that all nations are to get assembled to have war, he sort of goes to an aside and responds to the Lord by saying, O Lord.
三章九节以下是向万民的宣告。
For chapter 3, verse 9 onwards is addressing the nations.
十一节的下半段，这个耶和华求你使你的求你。求你使你的大能者降临，这是先知的祷告。
However, verse 11, the latter sentence is an aside of the prophet, a prayer.
也是他的祈求，他的心愿。
It is his heart desire, his plea.
他看到一片混乱，说：“神啊，赶快来啊！”
That he asked the Lord, please come fast.
这个意愿也是。那个启示录最后的意愿，对不对？启示录最后看异象的那个约翰，也最后也讲这样的一句话。
That Elder John seeing the visions of God at the end also, exclaimed the same thing.
那最后也是求神说：“神啊，我愿你快来。”
That at the end, John exclaimed, "Lord, please quickly come."
好。最后他说：“主耶稣啊，我愿你来。”
That he says, Lord Jesus, I wish for you to come.
那在那个古代圣徒，他们在他们有常常的一句话。
Now in the Old Testament, there is a common saying.
就说愿主快来。
That may the Lord quickly come.
那个哥林多前书十六章。二十二节最后就说主必快来，也就是说愿主快来的意思。
First Corinthians 16:22 tells us, or states the statement that the Lord will soon come.
那这个本来它是一个就是亚他们亚兰文的一个句子。
Originally, this is a phrase from Aramaic.
那是 Maranatha.
Maranatha.
就主啊，用你快来。
Lord, come quickly.
那神从神那边的主意是说，我必快来。
And from the Lord, the response is, I am coming soon.
所以这是先知在看异象，在做启示的时候，他不是说好吧，让他乱好了，那些人那么糟糕，让他打死算了。
Therefore, the mindset of Joel as he's prophesying here is that he is responding to what he is prophesying. He is feeling sorrowful for what God is revealing to him.
先知总是有悲怜的心呐。
That the prophet has a sympathetic heart.
好，那我们再看约书第三章。
We continue with Joel 3.
那十三章的嘛，第三章的十二节呢，就是万民都要受审判。
The verse 12 describes that all nations will be judged.
审判之前，我们看十三节。
Before judgment, we'll look at verse 13.
这是我们工作。
This is our job.
约书三章十三节。
Joel 3:13.
开镰吧，就是要开镰刀吧，因为庄稼熟了，这是我们责任。
Swing the sickle to start harvesting because this is our responsibility.
收取庄稼。
To harvest the belief.
然后呢，另外方面要践踏。
And to trample the grapes.
践踏什么？因为酒载满了那个酒池盈溢，他们的罪恶深重。
Because the wine press is full and the vats overflow with their great wickedness.
我们看我们的那个专题讨论的第七题，我们就可以看出来。
We'll look at the questions at the back, the discussion questions, verse number 7.
一样的镰刀，两样的收割。
That the same sickle and the harvests.
我们说这是一个晚雨收割的时候，对不对
？We talk about that we're in the latter rain period, the harvesting period.
我们常只想一种收割，就是啊，那个什么，有一首诗就是什么连收割庄稼哈，那把它收回来啦，放入天仓，是不是？
We often only talk about one type of harvesting, that is from the familiar hymn, bringing in the sheaves.
但这边有两种收割。
However, there are two different harvests here.
一种是收来放在天仓。
One is to harvest and store it in heavenly storehouse.
一种收来是怎么样？把它烧掉。
The other one is to harvest and then to burn it.
收庄稼进入天仓。
That you bring the sheaves and you store it in heavenly storehouse.
说葡萄，当时那葡萄哈，放在那葡萄，他们弄葡萄都是用酒那个放在一起，让他们弄汁什么，不是说有果汁机，而是用手榨，把它放在一个桶子里面，那、啊、怎么办？用脚来踩。
And that they harvest vine and they would put the grapes into the vats and then with the wine press, sorry, and they would step on it.
那、啊、如果那个葡萄多的话，你踩的酒那个什么葡萄汁就溢出去了。那葡萄是红的嘛？所以好像这象征血一样。
And the grapes, if it's overflowing the wine press, then the juice would overflow, and the color, of course, resembled that of blood.
那这是代表神的愤怒的那个被满溢。
And this will represent God's wrath or God's anger overflowing.
我们看那个启示录十四章这里就可以很明白看出来。
Very clearly from Revelation, we can see in 14.
启示录十四章数节。
Revelation 14:15.
这里很清楚记载一个镰刀两样的收割。
Here it talks about one sickle but two different harvests.
看十四节。
Verse
14章十四节。
14:14.
我又观看，见有一片白云，云上坐着一位好像人子，头上戴着金冠冕，手里拿着快镰刀。所以这个人好像人子的，这个是什么呢？是审判主啦。
Here, the person that resembles the Son of Man is the judge.
他主耶稣，这是主耶稣的描写。他手里拿着快的镰刀。
Therefore, here Jesus describes as he's holding onto a sharp sickle.
镰刀就是要收割，收割就是归入天仓。
Sickle is to harvest, and to harvest to store the product.
那十五节说，又有一位天使从天上出来，向那坐在银上的大圣喊着说：“伸出你的镰刀来收割，因为收割的时候已经到了，地上的庄稼已经熟透了。”然后那坐在银上的就把镰刀扔在地上，地上的庄稼就被收割了。
So here the reaping is one of good.
那一下子就收割好了。
That in an instant the harvest was done.
那这主耶稣所讲的那个约翰福音第四章那边说，你们极目观看，那个庄稼已经熟透了。
And in John 10, Jesus reminds us that the harvest is overripe.
那只要我们去收割。Only
we start our harvest.
说我们现在是一个收割的时候。So
we are in the time of harvest.
我们好像迟迟的不敢动镰刀去收割。Seems
that we are very hesitant to pick up the sickle.
那又另外一个天使又要来收割了。And
another angel came to also harvest.
17节，Verse 17. 又有一位天使从天上的殿中出来，他也拿着快镰刀。He
also had a sharp sickle.
18节，18.
又有一位天使从祭坛中出来，是权柄管火的，向拿着快镰刀，大声喊着说：“伸出快镰刀来收割地上的葡萄树的果子，因为葡萄熟透了。”然后19节，19.
那天使就把镰刀扔在地上，一样很快的呢，收取了地上的葡萄，丢在神愤怒的大酒窖中。20节，20.
那酒窖揣在城外，就有血从酒窖里流出来，高到马的嚼环，原有600里，所以这是一片恐怖的一个收割。This is a very terrible type of harvest.
这是一个审判的一个收割。
This is a very judgmental harvest.
是神愤怒大酒债的这个神愤怒的一个收割。That
it is one coming about from God's wrath.
所以在这里可以看出来有两种的收割。So
here we see two different types of harvest.
我们再看那个马太福音十三章。We
now look at Matthew 13.
马太福音十三章，这是主耶稣讲七个比喻。
Here in Matthew 13, Jesus has gone through a series of 7 parables.
37章，13章，37节。Matthew 13:37。37节，他回答说：“那撒好种的，就是人子。”38节，38节，田地就是世界。 好种就是天国之子，败子就是那恶者之子。39节，撒败子的仇敌就是魔鬼。收割的时候就是世界的末了，收割的人就是天使。40节，将败子薅出来，用火焚烧世界的末了，压如此。41节，41。人子要差遣使者，把一切叫人跌倒的和作恶的。 从他国里挑出来，丢在火湖里，在那里必哀哭切齿的。那义人呢？那时义人在他父里的国里，要发光，好像太阳一样。有耳可听的就应当听。我们每个人都耳朵了哈。We
all have read this.
我们如果没有耳朵，就可能不会来参加这个seminar。
Oh, sorry. We've all got ears. If we don't have ears, we probably won't sit here and listen.
所以是叫我们要听。
Therefore, Jesus said, open your ears.
就是收割不只是我们平常所了解的去传福音，收割庄稼进来。
That the harvest is not just going out and harvest the souls.
神一方面也在把那个败子到最后也要把它不是收起来放在天上，而是收起来拿去什么，烧掉。
For the other part of the harvest is God harvesting the weeds and burning them up.
求神让我们不要 让我们把我们收割放在天上，不要把我们收割起来丢掉，也不要像那些葡萄一样被收割起来就放在酒窖里面，是神审判愤怒的一个大酒窖里面。Therefore,
let us harvest our product and store them in heaven, and not have them being burnt up or put into the wine press where God's wrath is.
所以我们可以看得到，同样的收割是有两种意思的。
So we see one harvest. Sorry, one sickle, but harvesting two different things.
那我们也看得到，同样吃神的道理有两种感觉。
And that at the same time eating God's word, there are two reactions.
我们可能只吃到甜的，只吃在口里面。
That it is possible we just taste the sweetness.
我们还要再吞下去，让它苦。
But we have to swallow it then to taste its bitterness.
这样才是真正的要吃下去的。
Then this is called truly eating God's words.
那我们再看回来耶稣第三章。
We return to Joel 3.
在是十四节、十三、十二节，这是十二节到十五节是神最后的审判。
12 to 15, describes the last judgment, the final judgment.
好的收割起来，不好的就把它践踏了。
That the good will be kept and the bad will be trampled upon.
然后有很多人十四节。
And in verse 14, the multitudes.
许多的人在断定谷，因为耶和华的日子临近断定谷，那时候就。日月昏暗，星宿无光，所以这是最后的审判。
The final judgment, having multitudes in the valley of decision.
那在这个时候，十六节到十七节是神对他百姓的一个保障。
And in verse 16 and 17, here is another guarantee from God to His people.
十六节说，耶和华必从锡安吼叫，从耶路撒冷发声，天地要震动，耶和华却要做他百姓的避难所。所以外面虽然有天昏地暗，有战争，有恐惧，但是神要做我们的避难所。
Although there's strife, there's battle, there's chaos outside, but God will be our place of refuge.
十七节，神再一次的用他自己本身当保证，他自己说：“你们就知道我主，你们的神，且要住在锡安我的圣山。”那时耶路撒冷。必成为圣，外邦人不再从其中经过。
In verse 17, God used Himself as the guarantee, and He said that I am the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her.
耶路撒冷必成为圣
，for Jerusalem will be deemed holy.
我们目前我们教会可能。我们虽然说我们是天上的耶路撒冷落实在人间的正教会
Although we claim that we are the New Jerusalem and we are in this we constitute the spiritual Israelites
但是我们还没有到达最后的完全成圣的地步
But we haven't reached that point of pure holiness
现在还是在教会里面还是有时候外邦人从其中经过
That we still haveForeigners passing through us, passing around us.
这里所谓的外邦人，就是不是真正归入主，就是不是真正在信主的这些人。
Foreigners, meaning those who does not believe in the Lord, are still all around us.
或是只是图虚名的人。
Or those who are false.
那他们也在这耶路撒冷走来走去。
They're still treading on the land of Jerusalem.
那到最后呢？神要把它分开。
However, at the end, God will separate them.
所以，如果现在你对教会不满，然后怎么样，看到哪一个人怎么，如果是真正很坏的话，你也不用太难过了。
So therefore, if you see anybody in church which you are not satisfied with, due to their action, you do not need to worry too much.
我们看那个启示录第十一章。
We look at Revelation 11.
启示录十一章第一节。
Revelation 11, verse 1.
我们要注意的就是说神有他的标准。
We have to take note that God has his own standard.
说有一根苇子赐给我，苇子就是他们以前的词啦。
A reed here is the ancient time they used reed as a measuring instrument.
说当作度量的杖。
Here the reed was like a measuring rod.
并且有话说，你起来将神的殿，第一个要将神的殿，第一个要祭坛，第三个殿中礼拜人都要量一量。
And now you go to the temple and you measure the altar and count the worshippers there.
就是神的殿，还有祭坛，还有里面的人要量一量。
That the temple of God, the altar of God, and the worshippers of God must be measured.
就是说这个殿的建造是不是跟神的尺寸相符合
That is the dimensions of this temple Does it correspond with God's measurements
意思是说教会所传的是不是合乎神的道理是不是以神的尺寸来建设这个教会
That is the truth preached Is it corresponding to what God has left us.
祭坛, 我们是祷告, 就说你的祷告是不是合乎神的标准?
Altar represents prayer. Is your prayer reaching the standards of God?
这外面的, 然后再来呢, 要量量, 在殿中礼拜的人, 就量量我们, 所以天使常常 量我们,
and also, we are being counted by the angels as worshippers. Do we ourselves as worshippers see whether we're fit to be worshippers?
但是二节,
Verse 2.
这边说, 只是殿外的院子要留下, 不用量了, 因为这是给外邦人的啦, 所以殿里面要量, 殿外那些怎么样? 殿外的院子, 在圣殿里外面有院子, 那就不用量了啦,让他们践踏好了。
Here it says, do not bother to measure the outer court of the temple, for it has been given to the Gentiles.
所以时候要到,
therefore the time shall come,
真正在做礼拜的人就在殿里面,
that the true worshippers will sit within the temple.
在圣殿是, 圣所, 至圣所,
you have the holy temple within, you have the holy court, the holy portion and the holy of holies.
那外面呢, 有院子,
and there's the outer courts.
那人在这里没有关系啊, 让你走好了,
and the outer courts, anybody can be there.
这是在神国度里面的人才要量, 之外的, 有理的,
that within the temple of God they shall be measured, however without they can do whatever they want, they will not be measured.
这也是给我们一个很大的一个警惕的。
This gives us a big warning.
我们是不是在神国, 有时候说边缘人物了哈, 在那边徘徊的人。
Are we those who roam about in the outer courts?
那到有一天, 耶路撒冷要成圣了。
Until that day when Jerusalem will be called holy.
到那时候就不再容许外邦人从其中经过。
At that time, those without the temple will be forsaken.
好, 那我们再看18节。
Verse
18. 约书三章18节。
Joel 3:18 to the end.
说到那日大山要滴甜酒，小山要流奶汁，耶犹大西河有。 水流必有泉源从耶和华殿中流出，滋润石亭谷。19节，埃及必然荒凉，以东变为凄凉的旷野，都因在本地流无辜人的血。这里是提到神的应许。
Here is the promise of God.
这是也是我们真教会以后要变成的一种境况。
It is also a state which will transform to as a true church in the future.
这我们看到这是一幅永存耶路撒冷的一个景况。
Here it is a eternal description of how Jerusalem will be.
20节,
Verse 20.
但犹大必存到永远，耶路撒冷必存到万代。
That Judah will be inhabited forever in Jerusalem throughout all generations.
在这里我们看到神的应许在教会里面以后一定会大大的兴旺。
We know that God's promise here will be abundantly fulfilled in the future.
我们这次教会简直是末世的教会。
Our true Jesus Church is the church of the latter generation, the last generation.
以后一定会把这个道理传遍世界。
That we will preach this gospel to the whole world.
神怎么传我们不知道了，但是我们一定要有这种信念。
How we'll accomplish that, we may not know, but we must have that faith.
我们看那个，只要天上把那镰刀丢下来，就收割成了。
We see that sickle is just thrown onto the ground, and harvest is instantly done.
然后镰刀的是人子啊。
And though the one that holds the sickle is the Son of Man,
是主耶稣。
It is Jesus Christ.
我们人只能 当作一个器皿让神来用。
How can we then become an instrument which he can use?
我们教会跟一般别人在讲教会增长, 有很大的不同点。
Our church, when it comes to talking about its progress or growth, there's differences.
那个教会增长学是在 LA 那个富勒神学院开始的，这个名词。
The growth of a church has been, this concept has been developed at a university.
有一个科目叫做 church growth.
A topic taught there is called church growth.
Fullerton. 叫不是 Fuller。Fuller Theological Seminary.
At the Fuller Theological Seminary in Southern California.
你知道吗？哈，是不是？不知道啊。那他们从60年代到70年代就发展成有一个理论。
Throughout the 60s and 70s, they developed this notion of church growth.
很简单讲，他们最重要的是什么？
Simply said, what's their emphasis?
叫 leader.
Leadership.
是不是这样写哈？他们说教会增长的第一要素就是 leadership.
The first issue regarding church growth has to be leadership.
他们就举很多例子，他们先用外面的商业的行为，你看有某某一个人，他是从打小工的，一毛钱都没有，然后单身，然后就因为他很有意志力量，然后最后就因为他的很会计划，很会想，然后有计划，结果变成大老板。
They developed the concept from experiences in business that a poor person would come about to become a rich person through his own leadership and his own efforts.
所以最重要的，在一个教会里面增长最重要的是什么？是 leader.
So the first criterion of to propagate church growth is to have good leadership.
所以在那个时候，七零八变成超人了。
Therefore, in the 70s,
街上在美国很多这种书嘛，哈。
On the streets, you'll see many literature talking about spiritual guidance or sayings of a spiritual leader. All these things that they raise up the leader to a high plateau.
我们要想想这对不对
？We should think whether this is correct.
听起来对。
On the surface, it seems right.
你再仔细想，不是那么对。
But if you look into it, it is not that correct.
当然神要动工，我们要同工。没有人的话，神当然也可以从狮头兴起他的子孙。
Of course,
可是神有绝对的主权人，不要忘记说，没有人就没有神的工作，这两回事啊。
Of course, God wants His work done, but we are the instruments which will fulfill that work. But don't ever think that God cannot do His work by Himself. He can make a rock into one of His sons.
现在教会增长学理，因为他把人的艺术提高到最高点，就是说地位，没有人，他们主张说，没有人就没有神的工作，
Therefore,
对吗？
The, in the theory of church growth, then they raise the human leadership as the issue which is the utmost importance.
那他们把这个教会里面的领导人就是最重要，所以他们塑造一些所谓的。街上有很多嘛，那个 leadership, spiritual leadership, 就是属灵人，是一个好像半神半人那种境界啦。在这个富勒那个 theological seminary, 他们就是这样，所以他们专门训练那个属灵领导人物。
That they raise this concept of spiritual leadership to such a point where they start to look at people as half spiritual and half physical, and they really revere those people.
所以他们有很多的报告。比如说这个教会很软弱
and they have reports which would report that some that, for example this church is very weak
然后有一个属灵的领导人来了
and a spiritual leader arrives
他来了之后一年之内那个教会增长四五倍
that within a year the membership quadrupled
就是量啊哇人就很高他们就多起来为什么因为这个人有魅力哈、讲道有能力然后那个在属灵各方面都很好，所以这教就兴旺起来。
And that because of this man, this person, that the church becomes or the church grows due to his eloquence or his power of speech and his spirituality.
所以在美国60年代之后呢，你会常常看到一个人的教会，就是说一个人如果我兴旺起来哈，我自己哈自己是，不是说他自己设立教会，说譬如说 他来到这里，哇，这里兴旺起来，那他就他好像当这个 leader 一样，那大家都听他的嘛。他一来就兴旺，他一走怎么样？大家要笑了。是这样子，美国常这样。哎，有时候他一起来，哇、哦，那个聚会人一两千啊，后来那个人死掉了怎么样？教会就卖掉了。所以美国常常有说，哇，很兴旺的教会一下子怎么样？教堂来卖了，为什么？那 leader 死掉了嘛。
So from the 60s, there seems to be many examples of one single individual raising up a whole church, and everyone will be so focused on this individual that once this individual dies, a complete opposite occurs, that the church is completely faded away.
你们应该有这种经验嘛，对不对？这里应该比我小的，我只是从书里面看来的而已。
I read this in books, but those who live here should know such instances.
应该是有。那他们就好像商业一样，哇，好，那九一年，好久以前来，这里不是有一个王安吗？哈、哦，哇，他那时候全世界那个有名啊，在凡客福都有他的高楼，都那个他那个 WONG 哈、哦，到处世界都有那大都市。他一回到台湾，那个总统召见他一死，那个什么，整个企业都销轰了，就是这种了。那教会就利用这，就也看到这种说，如果有强人起来领导的话，这个教会一定会强，危险。为什么？这个强人你要让他，你要说永远不死，要让他万万岁。如果这个强人不万万岁的话，这个、死了怎么办？教会就卖掉了。
In the business analogy, we look at the founder of Wang Computers. When he was alive, everything was his business was flourishing, but once he died, everything went downhill. In the spiritual sense, when a church is focusing too much on its leader, then once that leader passes away, it seems that the whole church goes with him.
他这美国这个国家也是就是这样子，这里兴那里兴，所以有可能这个人嚯兴起来哦，爬到天上去，一下子怎么样，掉到谷里面去，看本事了，就看人。
It seems that many American religions, they would raise up individuals as their leader and make him very sensational. But once he being raised up to the top of the mountain, he seems to always plunder down to the valley.
所以在教会增长学里面， leader 是整个教会的中心。
So they seem to put the leader in the center of their church structure.
强调这个 leader 的重要，要灵修变成属灵人，变成什么什么什么都好，好像一个全十项什么全能的选手一样。谁哪有这种人？也不是这样子。圣经告诉我们是怎么样，要把人完完全全的怎么样？我们每个人在教会的组织哈，或是我们的心态是这样子，中心呢是主，其他人无论是传道或是谁，长老执事，我们都是在旁边的，围着主耶稣的。只是如果你是当传道或是当执事，你在执行圣礼的时候，你来这里替主耶稣哈做完这个圣功之后，你又是弟兄。所以圣经里面那个使徒行传第十章那边说，我们当长老那个使徒的弟兄，还是弟兄。只是在那个时候，你执行圣礼的时候，你替人家洗脚的时候，洗礼的时候是奉耶稣的名。只是一个器皿，所以中心是主耶稣。无论是谁，教会注意，无论是谁，教会的人都说哇，他做了很多的功，什么都是在旁边的。谁敢站在中间？没有什么属灵的领导，或是属灵什么？主耶稣是领导啊。如果变成这样子的话，怎么样呢？就危险了。
The concept of the church growth has a from this diagram here.That the leader seems to be focused upon and centered, that everyone's job is to raise that leader up to a higher spiritual plateau, and then the church growth will go with him. However, our concept is very different in that we have Jesus in the center of our structure. Everyone, brothers and sisters, elders, deacons, they're on the perimeter of this structure. However, when, for example, a worker of God, like a minister, is moved by the Holy Spirit to do his Jesus' sacrament, he would then go to the center and perform that sacrament. But in status, everyone is a brother, or everyone is brothers and sisters.
但是我们正教会里面，感谢主，很多长老执事都很谦卑。
And we thank God that many of our ministers, elders are very humble.
在别的教会， 如果当执事啊，当什么，他们把它当成一个官阶来看呢。
In other churches, they seem to raise up ministers of God as a spectacle that everybody looks upon.
他们有别的教会哈，他们如果教会要选执事哈，要用钱买啊，不是买就是拜托选给我，给你多少钱，是真的
哦。That other churches,
就好像选举一样贿赂。
When it comes to electing certain positions, offices in the church, they would actually campaign for that position.
因为他们认为好像说，当了执事就好像高了一点。
Because they feel that they are raising themselves up to a higher position.
但是我们真实教会从来没有这样子的。
But our True Jesus Church, we never practice that.
那这里谈到最后有泉源，有活水要从真实教会而出。
Here it talks about the fountain that will flow from the true church.
我们来谈谈圣灵。
Let's talk about the Holy Spirit.
最好的就是像耶稣所讲的。
The best is according to what Jesus said.
耶稣在约翰福音第七章这边有讲过。
In John 7, Jesus once said.
我们请看一下。
Let's please refer to John 7.
约翰福音七章。
John chapter
7:38. 信我的人就如经上所说，要从他腹中流出活水的江河来。这就是指着要受圣灵所讲的。
Here is talking about the receiving of the Holy Spirit.
活水的江河。
Streams of living water.
活水的话是不会里面有生命的。
Living water, of course, implies life.
在江河里面，你很少看到有那个蚊子啊、虫啊，哈，在那边生蛋。
常常
蚊子不会的。
不会。In the streams, you hardly see any mosquitoes or any insects laying their eggs in the water.
所以，当你真的圣灵好像活水这样的在里面拥有的时候，你不会有脏东西在里面。
Therefore, when the living water is flowing continuously through you, you will not have any impurities in your inside you.
大水在冲的时候，脏东西都冲走了。
When great waters are passing by, all dross is taken away with it.
我们都有经验嘛，当你有什么不满呐、哈、忧愁啦，放在心里面的时候，当你被圣灵充满的话，那些都冲掉了。有时候人很忧愁，冲掉了。有时候你气那个人气得要命，祷告完怎么这样就好了，圣灵把你那个气也冲走了，对不对
？We've all had, we all have experiences of Holy Spirit washing ourselves, our insides of any hatred, any pain, sorrow, hardships.
因为你有那圣灵，就好像活水一样的江河，把你一些忧愁啊、气、恨人啊、气人啊，全部冲走。
Because the Holy Spirit has the effect of water cleansing within you anything that is impure, dirty.
怕的话是说，你也有圣灵，但是呢，就也不充满，然后呢，好像停留在那里，那叫糟糕。蚊子来怎么样下蛋
？And the
苍蝇来下蛋。
Scary part is if your stream of living water is slow flowing to a point of stagnant, then the mosquitoes will come and actually lay eggs.In your stream.
那如果不是活水的江河，就变什么小小的臭水沟，那里面更糟糕。那臭水沟里面就蚊子啊、苍蝇一大堆，教会里面就闲话一大堆。不是没有圣灵有啊，只是里面不是圣灵的活水江河，而是什么蚊子跟苍蝇的居住的地方。
If your stream of living water is not flowing abundantly, then you'll be like a gutter with just a little bit of water in it. It's not that you don't have the Holy Spirit.But just that your Holy Spirit is akin to that of a gutter. We look at a very wonderful verse in the Bible. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Ezekiel 47:1.
我们也常常听过这段圣经啊。
We've often heard this quoted.
这是讲末世真教会圣灵要好像大水这样子的这种情况。
Here it talks about the church of the last days, how the water will come out from it.
我们看47:1。
47:1。
他带我回到殿门，见殿的门槛下有水往东流出，从水这水从坎下由殿的右边在祭坛的南边往下流。第2节。他带我出殿门，又领我从外边转到朝东的门外，见水从右边流出，这是水流的情况。那我们看第3节。
Also 3。
他手拿准绳往东去的时候，量了1000肘，使我探过水，水到踝子骨。踝子骨就是这里了哈。
Ankle deep。
人家说台湾的钱淹卡吧，就是淹到这个踝子骨。
They say Taiwan got floods, floods of money up to your ankles。
那说第4节，这是水还少的时候。那再来，我又量了1000肘，使我探过水，水到了膝，就是圣灵越来越充满了，对，到膝了哈。
As the Holy Spirit or the water level rises up to your knee，
那也是圣灵的工作越来越明显。
That the Holy Spirit's work is starting to show itself。
再量了1000肘，使我探过水，水便到腰。
Now the water is up to the waist in verse 4。
又量了1000肘，水便成为河，使我不能趟过，因为水是瘴气，成为渴求的水，不能趟过的河。
By verse 5, this water is now swimmable, that it cannot be forded easily.
就最后神的工作，神圣灵的工作，不是你可以去控制的。
And that one implication is that the Holy Spirit's work cannot be controlled by you.
并且神到最后圣灵的工作，人只是随着圣灵的那个工作来带领的带领来。
And that ultimately, if the Holy Spirit works its works, you can only be led, you will not lead it.
那圣灵也大大的充满。
And the Holy Spirit can only abundantly fill you.
当圣灵充满的时候，我们接下来看的是一片生机啊，一片欣欣向荣的一个景况。
Here, then with the Holy Spirit filling you, you can see a situation very applicable to us.
我们看第6节。
Verse 6。
他对我说：“人子，你看见什么？”他带我回到河边。第7节，我回到河边的时候，看见河这边那边的岸上有极多的树木。第8节，他对我说：“这水往东流去，必下到亚拉巴，直到海，所发出的水必流入沿海，使水变甜。”所以那时候，沿水都变甜了。
Here, salt water became fresh water.
沿海本来是没有生命的。
Salt water.
甜水就是变好的水，怎么就有生命滋长呢？
Salt water originally without life in it, now becomes fresh with life in it.
所以第9节说，这河水所到之处，凡滋生的动物都必生活，并且因为这流来的水，必有极多的鱼。海水变甜了，这河水所到之处，百物都必生活，所以一片欣欣向荣。并且第10节，
10.
必有渔夫站在河边，从隐基底直到以格连多塞网之处，那鱼各从其列，好像大海的鱼那么多。所以那个圣灵工作所到之处呢，百物滋生，并且有很多的收获。
That the Holy Spirit, once it works its wonders, that the even life will come out of it, and a lot of you'll receive a lot of products.
那我们看12节。
Verse 12，
在河这边与那边的岸上必生长各样的树木，果子可以当食物，叶子也不枯干，果子不断绝，每月必结新的果子，因为这水是从圣所所流出来的，树上的果子必做食物，叶子可以治病。这如果我们看那个启示录，跟启示录22章那边是一致的啦。
Here we can see a parallel from here to Revelation 22。
结果累累，并且它的叶子可以医人的病。
That the fruits will be abundant on these trees, and their leaves will even have healing power.
所以圣灵所到之处，一片就是欣欣向荣。
So therefore, the Holy Spirit can work its wonders to form this beautiful scene.
这里用一个水的这个例子来比喻圣灵啊。
Here you use water as symbol of Holy Spirit.
有很大的水，有江河水的，才会把脏东西冲掉。
Only great flowing water can cleanse away all impurities.
若水少少的是冲来一些垃圾的东西啊。
If the water is small, it can only get rid of small things.
水不流的话，反而更糟糕。
If the water is stagnant, it's even worse.
所以圣经等一下，我们看十二节。
So from verse 12, verse 11,
七章十一节。
47:11.
只是泥泞之地，以洼湿之处不得治好，必为炎地。如果你是干地的话，干干的土地，你渴慕饥渴，那就水来了，变成活水江河了。
If you're dry land, you of course would thirst for great water to come, so that you can become flowing streams.
有一种地是什么地？泥泞之地，有水过去，但是不是江河，是什么？只那么一点，然后在那边，用脚踩啊踩啊，弄啊弄啊，就变成什么泥泞之地。
But there are things that there are places like swamps.That there's not much water there, so after some water passed by, it just becomes mud.
洼湿之地，你说它是江河也不是江河，你说它是干很干旱的地也不是，它就是这样子。
That is
泥泞之地，洼湿之地。
In these marshes and swamps, you can't call them dry land, nor can you call them flowing rivers.
就是一块糊糊的地方。
It is a very
台湾就糊糊了，就。
It's a very muddy place.
你说干也不是干，你说它是江河也不是江河，这种地方最糟糕了。就好像说，圣灵过去如果是有圣灵充满的话，一片新天新地。如果你我有圣灵啊，那又好像没有，那长一些蚊子啊、苍蝇啊，所以教会有时候就被这些蚊子、苍蝇弄得这样乱七八糟。
That the Holy Spirit, when it does His work to the utmost.When it goes by like a stream of water, it should bring everything anew. Whereas if the Holy Spirit goes by and leaves a swamp or a marsh, then the mosquitoes that live there may disrupt the work in the church.
这边说泥泞之地、洼湿之处不得治好了，这不没有治的，没有办法治理啊，没有办法治好了，就是
that here the swamps and the marshes is incurable.
必为咸地，就是说长不出什么东西。
That it stays there and remains salty, nothing will grow there.
沿海就是死海嘛。
That salt represents death.
这跟主耶稣所讲的一样。
Same as what Jesus taught us.
冷的就要热起来。
That the cold will become warm.
热的要保持热。
And the warm will remain kept warm.
我也不冷啊。
But I'm not cold.
我也不热啊。
But I'm not warm either.
我也不是大那个活水江河啊。
Neither am I the big flowing river.
也不是那个干旱之地啊。
Nor am I dry, arid ground.
我要中庸。
I want to be somewhere in between, lukewarm.
好像在边缘这样看看，当做边缘的人物这样。
It's like a.
边缘就是他不在那个不到圣殿里面，就是在那边观望。
I would be caught in the outer courts, not in nor out.
久而久之就变成这种泥泞之地了。
That I become desolate ground.
就耶稣所讲的不冷不热。
What Jesus describes as lukewarm.
冷的会，冷的话变热的话会很热心。
Cold going to hot, meaning zeal being raised up.
真正认识主人，他就热心嘛。
Those who truly know God will increase their zeal.
最怕就是不冷不热。主耶稣说这种人好像说很聪明哈，哎，站在中间看。主耶稣不要了，哭吐出去。
And what Jesus warned us about is those who are lukewarm, that he may look very good in front of people, but Jesus will spew him out.
这起诉主耶稣讲的，说你不冷不热，我要怎么样把你吐出去？
And Revelation,
跟这个一样泥泞之地啊。
Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out just like if you're swamps and marshes.
如果以圣灵当作水的话，最怕是什么？最怕是有圣灵，那又当边缘人，最糟糕，就泥泞之地啊，不得治啊，治不好。你说他不是，他又是；你说他是，那又不是。啊，所以说也气死了。
So with the analogy of Holy Spirit being water, what we should fear is that we become salty, stagnant water, that we do not know what to go left or right. We do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in us.
我们大家互相勉励啦，我还是要勉励我自己。
This is all for mutual encouragement.